All right, Church, let's talk about the Supreme Court and abortion in particular. You probably know that I come out strong as a pro-life person, and I am cheering on the Supreme Court in their leaked opinion that they're going to overrule Roe versus Wade abortion decision. That's the right thing for them to do. They need to overrule it. They really need to overrule it 9-0. It's obvious. There's not really a good argument for anything else. It needs to be overruled. Abortion needs to be illegal. Okay. Now, I'm going to share that's a baseline assumption for me, is that you're in agreement on that. But I recognize that a lot of people, maybe even 50% or roughly of America, wouldn't agree with that. They would say, "Oh, abortion should be legal and legit." Well, let's divide that group into those that profess Christ and those that don't. I'm a pastor. I'm talking to Christians. You're welcome to watch it if you're not a believer. I hope you do. But look, if you're a believer and you're on a fence about this, I want to convince you why this matters, okay? Abortion is a wickedness. It is baby killing. It is taking a life designed and made by God for a purpose, and it is killing that life, okay? That is not really negotiable. That is not a matter of opinion. That's just what it is. A baby is a baby no matter how small. A baby is a baby no matter where it's a baby. If it's a baby out in hospital, there's a baby in hospital. If it's a baby inside of its mother, it's a baby. That's just a matter of the location, okay? It's not a matter of who it is or what it is. It's a human person. It's a baby. It might be a baby 2 months old in the womb. It might be a baby 2 months old out of the womb. It might be a baby grown up into a 40-year-old woman or man or something. But it's a human being. It's a person designed by God. All right. You are made in the image of God. All people are made in the image of God. Not just you. Not just people who are grown up. Not just people of a certain age. All people are made in the image of God. The Bible is clear on this. You are to love your neighbor. You're to love your enemy, and so on. So all people are people, and all people are the image of God, and therefore all people have a level of dignity, a level of value and purpose under God, not under man, not under your opinion or my opinion, but under God. Okay, so if I'm talking to you as a believer, I assume you recognize these things, that God is a greater authority than human institutions, that God is a greater authority than your personal preferences or someone else's personal preferences, that God is a greater authority than this. And God has ordained that life, human life, has value in Him, and that human life does not have authority or any right whatsoever to take that away. Murder is murder. Okay, now self-defense is a different issue. But when we're talking about abortion, we're not talking about self-defense. We're talking about just taking someone else's life because it's inconvenient and unplanned or something, okay? So why should the court do this? We live in a country that at this point has basically a secular government. It shouldn't. That's a different topic of how to do government the right way biblically. Secularism is not it, but that's a different discussion. You don't want to live in a theocracy, you say. Well, I would rather live in a theocracy under Christ than a secular government of any other kind. Okay, but that's a different topic. abortion is the killing of an unborn human being made in the image of God. So that's sinful. A lot of people, this is where they draw the line and say, well, it's sinful, of course, but should it be a crime? Should it be illegal? And where do you draw the line there? There's a lot of sinful things that we don't have laws about. It's sinful to covet, but do we have coveting police? Do we have coveting laws that I'm not somehow going to go to jail if I drive by my neighbor's house and think I like it or something? Where do you draw the line? I've heard Christians make this argument. So sure, it's sinful, they say, but should it be illegal? Well, there's a few points to make. Number one, the Supreme Court reversing the Roe versus Wade decision and taking this out of federal hands, it wouldn't make it illegal. It would make it a state issue, number one. It wouldn't make it illegal. It would mean that whatever state you live in would get to make its own rules. So it wouldn't make it illegal. It would let your state choose, all right? But the bigger question is here, should it be illegal? And I think it obviously should be illegal. It should be illegal in all 50 states. And biblically speaking, I don't believe that's negotiable, all right? Well, why not? How is abortion different from coveting, you ask? How is abortion different from lusting? Lusting is a sin. Should that be illegal? Do we have lust police or something, right? Well, abortion's different because abortion is a human life. It should be illegal to murder, okay? Think about the purpose of a judge. Leviticus 19:15, you shall do no injustice in court. That's a Bible verse. You shall do no injustice in court. It means the courts have a duty, an obligation under God to not do injustice. Well, what's injustice? Injustice is I kill a baby that I don't want because I don't want it. That would be unjust. Okay, if I go out and murder a grown person because I don't like them, you would say that should be a law, right, against murder. So what's the difference here? Well, the difference is you don't see the baby, it's inside of its mother. That's the difference. Doesn't mean it's not there. Okay, the courts have a basic duty to protect life, a duty under God, assigned by God for God's purposes. Whether the court is, the judge is a Christian or not, whether the judge is a total atheist, whether he's a Soviet communist, whatever he is, or she, whatever, they have a duty. Justice, the justice system, is ordained by God. It's not ordained by man. It is corrupted by man. It is not invented by man. It's God's system. God is judge. God delegates his judgments, his wisdom, and his knowledge to people. So if you are a judge, or if you are somebody with any kind of common sense, that's a kind of judgment. You have the ability to make personal moral judgments, right? That's from God. Your job is to not corrupt it. That's it. That's it. To know God's justice and not corrupt it. And so our court system, our Supreme Court, or our local courts, or whatever, or you, if you are a parent and you have children in an argument over who gets to eat the last potato chip, whatever, you have to make judgment calls all day long. And your job is to make those judgment calls under God. And the Supreme Court's job, especially if they're going to call themselves the Supreme Court. Think about the arrogance there. God is the Supreme, the only Supreme. But, okay, that's what it's called. They have a duty under God to exercise moral judgment rightly. And it's obvious in a case of abortion. It's obvious. This is not one of those differences of opinion kind of things. This is the killing of an innocent baby. So they obviously should rule against it, whether they are Christians or not. And this is not Christianity trying to assert some sort of theocracy where we're going to dominate and create a lust patrol and a coveting patrol and everything else patrol. That's not what it is. That would be a different discussion altogether. This is simply a matter of the Supreme Court doing the basic fundamental duty of judgment, of good, righteous, moral judgment. And then it goes back to the states. And the states have a duty, just like the Supreme Court would, to rule for justice and against injustice. And so your local state, whatever state you live in, needs to get this one right, and they need to make it illegal because it is wicked, it is sinful, and it is murder. It is destroying a human life designed by God. Okay, so then you say, well, we're legislating morality. We can't do that. Shouldn't we just let people live by their conscience or something? Well, obviously not. Not if they're going to kill babies. You wouldn't let them do that if it was some other situation. You wouldn't let them live by their conscience if they wanted to steal and rob you, right? We're going to have laws. The only issue is whether our laws are going to protect the righteous and punish the wicked, or if our laws are going to protect the wicked and punish the righteous. That's the only question. So let's get laws that do it right, that get it right, okay? So with that said, where does the church fit into this? Does the church just make up all the laws and we have Bibles and we believe the Bible so we get to legislate everything and that's how the world's going to become righteous? No, not at all. The world has a duty. The judges have a duty under God to do what is right. whether they recognize God or not, they have a duty to do what is right. So making abortion illegal is the starting point on in the justice system. It's just obvious. But there's much deeper issues here, much deeper issues. That is one tiny slice of a very big pie, all right? The church has total authority under Jesus to make disciples of the nations, okay? We were supposed to be praying that the kingdom of God and the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. So law, we have an absolute obligation if you're a Christian to speak into law, to make righteous law, to make just judgments. That's part of it, but it's not all of it. Okay, where does abortion come from? Would the Supreme Court getting this one right and all 50 states getting it right, would that help? It would absolutely help, but it would not solve the problem because abortion comes from sinful wickedness, okay? It comes from sin. Who's getting these abortions? Almost always it's unwed mothers, okay? Almost always. Well, that's sinfulness. The church can speak into that. The church can teach about sexuality, about righteous sexuality and unrighteous sexuality. The church can teach about marriage, the importance of marriage, the sacredness of marriage. If the church started getting marriage right, if husbands started loving their wives, being faithful to their wives, and upholding high standards for husbanding and wifery, these are really old school words. Why are they old school words? Because people stopped talking about them, the church stopped talking about them. What do you expect when the church stops talking about good husbanding and good wifery? All of a sudden you have a high divorce rates and marriages that stay married and don't get divorced but are just miserable and sinful and it's bad, but they're holding to marriage but not holding to righteous marriage. And nobody knows what to do about it. Well, what we need to do about it is get men to be men and women to be women. And do marriage the right way. That's what we need to do about it and repent of everything else. All right. Would that help? It would absolutely help. It would cut down on abortions because men wouldn't be sleeping around with women until they're married. And then they wouldn't be just sleeping around with their wife. They would be husbanding her and they would be setting themselves up as a family unit the way God intended. And you wouldn't have as much abortion. All right. If the church gets this stuff right, we'll do better. Abortions typically occur in among people who are ignorant. What I mean by ignorant is they lack information. They don't know it's a real person. They've been lied to. Does the church have anything to do with that? Well, we could start teaching the truth and stop allowing and promoting lies. We could educate. Education is a Christian principle. Love the Lord your God with all of your mind. Okay, and teach. And we can teach truth. And we can teach truth to the next generation. Read your Bible and take note of how often it talks to the one generation to instruct and teach the next generation. Read Proverbs, like the whole book. All right, read Titus chapter 2. This kind of stuff is all through it. Our job is to teach and to educate. And if we don't teach and educate, it just means someone else will. And they will miseducate and they will teach falsehoods. And so you have people getting abortions thinking that it's no big deal, not even knowing what's going on because the church has abdicated its teachings of truth and righteousness, right? And at the core of this stuff really is just the wickedness of rejecting God's standards and choosing for ourselves whatever we think is right. It's substituting what we know of God and replacing him with lies and falsehoods, and the church needs to stand up and teach the truth. If the church does its job, we will also speak into part of teaching the truth is voting, and part of teaching the truth is making sure people know what to look for in a judge and a politician. And one small slice of that pie is the Supreme Court getting this one right. 50 years of prayer, 50 years of the church slowly waking up to this has eventually brought us to a position where it looks like we might get 5-4 on the Supreme Court to rule against abortion. And that's a victory. But it's just one very small little step, and it's a shame it took this long, and it's a shame it's going to be 5-4 and not 9-0. but look, even after that, it's going to go back to the states. We're in Pennsylvania. We got an election this year. We have the most pro-life candidate for governor we have ever had. On record, introduced the heartbeat bill and everything. Not just says he's pro-life, actually pro-life, Doug Mastriano. And we have the most pro-choice candidate for governor ever, Josh Shapiro. These two could not be more opposite on this. Shapiro, if he were to get in, he's going to be one of those New York and Virginia sorts of guys that wants to do it up even to the point after birth. He's been saying this kind of stuff all along. Mastriano wants to make it illegal. You can't get in between. You can't find a middle ground there. It's stark. So we have an opportunity here. Now, will getting Doug elected, will that solve the problem? No, but it's a step in the right direction. It's a step in the right direction. If the court gives this back to the states after 50 years of praying, after 50 years of working, after 50 years of voting for candidates just on the hope that they'll somehow get a conservative pro-life Supreme Court in there, and eventually, finally, hopefully, we get 5 out of 9. And then it goes back to the states. And if we lose this one in the state, all that 50 years is for no good. No good at all in Pennsylvania. We've got to get this right in the state. We've got to get it right this year. It's an amazing opportunity. What are the odds? What are the odds that this would all come along right now? That as the Supreme Court is about to rule rightly, it looks like, and pray that they do, that just as it's about to be go back to being a state issue, just then we in our state would have the opportunity to vote for a genuinely pro-life candidate. What are the odds? And the pro-choice argument? They're saying, what are the odds that right now is the best chance to elect the most pro-choice candidate we've ever had? All right, this is what's up, guys. This is here. This is 2022 is the year we as a state are going to get to choose our state's course. Are we going to keep sacrificing babies to Chemosh and Molech, or are we going to dedicate them to God? All right. Remember, politics is not the end-all, be-all. There are much deeper issues at work here, but politics has a role. Scripturally speaking, under God, there is a role for this. There's a value in this, and they have a basic fundamental duty, Christian or not, to respect and honor life. And we have to get it right. If we can't even get, that's the bottom rung. That's just the starting point of all this stuff. Let's get the justice system to do justice. Who would have guessed? So if we fail at this one, oh man, it's the bottom rung, like we failed everything. If we get this one right, okay, we've got justice on our side. Well then, let's start doing all the other stuff that we need to do so that people stop looking for abortions, so that women stop falling for whatever man happens to be around and demanding marriage, Christian marriage, before they'll even think about sleeping together. And the husband wouldn't even think about sleeping with the wife because they're not married, and he's righteous and she's righteous, and we're doing it right all of a sudden. And then once they're married, they're married righteously, they're married faithfully, and they're married in security, and they're naturally going to produce babies securely, and they're not going to fear, and they're not going to look for abortions. All right, let's get all of this right. Let's get it from the ground up and everything else, and let's make sure also that the justice system is working the right way, as opposed to the wicked way that they've been operating. God bless you. I hope that makes sense. Be pro-life, vote pro-life, and live out the entire picture of pro-life. All right, God bless you.